Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. The lines are wide open. We invite your call at 844-322-2742. This month, we're going to wrap up our conversation and our focus on worship, and we'll go on to something very, very interesting in tomorrow's broadcast, I'm sure. But today, it's worship. And if you have a question about true worship, there's some other subject you'd like to talk about, this is the time. Call now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Before we get into our topic today, I want to thank everybody that participated in Giving Tuesday and gave a gift to Basic Gospel. We sure appreciate your generosity. We met our $6,000 challenge or goal. So thank you so much for responding and helping us get this good news out to more and more people. And that just means so much to each and every one of us. And yesterday we had a wonderful, wonderful call on the broadcast from Ryan, who lives in Lacombe, Canada, up near Calgary. And as he mentioned yesterday, he is facing stage four cancer, brain cancer. I talked with him a little bit today and heard more of that story. And he was a guy that is so grateful for this gospel message and what he has learned through this broadcast. And the fact that he can face what he's going through with certainty, assurance, and peace in his heart. And so I thought it was very appropriate that he called on that particular day. And I think it really gives us this sense of the expressions of thankfulness that people have in their hearts as a result of this good news being delivered to them straightforward and clear and practical term. So thank you so much for joining with us yesterday. We so greatly appreciate it. I know, Andrew, your ministry had a wonderful Thanksgiving Tuesday as well.
Yeah, we did, Bob. And, you know, it is encouraging. It's great to really just know, number one, that people are out there listening, that lives have been impacted, and that then a natural result of that is that they turn right around and support Basic Gospel and the message that we all proclaim together. It's a beautiful thing. And don't think for a minute, all of you out there listening, that we take it for granted. It's a personal encouragement to each one of us as we've decided to, you know, do this for a living. We want to wake up every day and proclaim this good news to all that will hear, and for as long as we live. And this is exciting for us, and it's always encouraging to hear back in such a positive way from those who've been impacted.
Yes, it is. Well, our topic is worship, and we're going to finish off this month with Romans chapter 12. We took a look at that yesterday, and we got to the first verse that in view of God's mercy, we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. And yesterday we talked about the fact that, you know, in kind of the religious realm, we worship those things that we feel are going to cleanse us and to enable us to draw near to God. And so that's why so many people worship at the foot of rules and regulations or religious rituals, because they think those things are the very things that are going to make them clean and enable them to draw near to God. But none of those work. Only the shed blood of Jesus works. And through his shed blood, we have been made holy and pleasing to God. So through that, we can draw near and offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And then in the second verse, he says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So the pattern of the world was set for us in the garden. So Satan moved the hearts of Adam and Eve away from the one true God and connected it to a lie. And so we've been worshiping created things ever since. That's the pattern of the world. And from that comes all of these sins, all of the things that we see out there in the world. That's the pattern that's been set. We have been rescued from that, and now our minds need to align to what this worshiping the one true God is all about, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. And as we do, we learn something very powerful and meaningful to us, that the will of God for our lives is actually good, pleasing, and perfect for us. It's something that we can really embrace in a very positive and real way. I think this is just one of the most powerful passages in the entirety of the New Testament. It is so practical and full of seeing this grace of God being lived out in us every day, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, you think about those who have hunted and searched for the will of God. I know there was a time in my Christian life where I was trying to find the will of God and then stay in the will of God, and it seemed like it was so elusive, and there's people that are paralyzed by such a notion. And then you get to a passage like this one, Bob, and it is so comforting to know that, you know, really God's will for us is that our mind get reprogrammed, that we learn and that we grow in the grace of God, that our thinking change, that we bear fruit. And, you know, this sort of will of God, I mean, this notion can be compatible with any life, anywhere, anyone, living in any place, having any sort of occupation. It's not about trying to find all the right things to stay in the will of God. Instead, it's really that it's God's heart, it's God's will that we experience a revolution in our thinking, that we experience a renovation in our mindsets and attitudes, and from that we'll bear fruit, and from that other people will be impacted, and all of that is the will of God. And so to me, guys, just understanding how broad and how deep, how wide the will of God is, that you can hardly miss it, because really the will of God is Jesus in our lives in every way.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Bob, take it away.
844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, and we would love for you to take this opportunity to call and be a part of the conversation. Again, 844-322-2742. And friends, today is the last day for you to receive Bob Christopher's CD, Life After Therefore, as our thanks for your gift in November. It's a powerful message that will indeed challenge you to experience true worship by sharing with others the life, joy, and purpose that you've received through Jesus Christ. Click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and receive your copy of Life After Therefore. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And thank you in advance for your support of Basic Gospel and the message of God's love and grace. Again, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open. We have the opportunity, Bob, Richard, and Andrew, for our listeners to pose a question through our website, basicgospel.net/ask. There's a page there where you can leave a voicemail question, or you can leave a text question, and we'll be glad to address it soon on Basic Gospel. But in fact, that's what Pete from New Hampshire did. We're going to hear his call right now.
Hi, God bless. This is Pete from New Hampshire. I'd like to know what Jesus says about resentment. Thank you very much.
Well, Pete, thanks for calling, and he's asking what Jesus taught on confession, and that's a pretty important topic. We all are wanting to confess, and we put a lot of importance on confession. We think it's going to cleanse our hearts, cleanse our souls, all of those sort of things. What is the role of confession? What does the Bible teach us about confession? What does Jesus teach us about confession? And I think if people will really get to the heart of this, it will really transform their relationships with Christ and give them some confidence and really courage to live as children of God in this world. So what does the Word of God tell us about confession?
Yeah, you know, the verb confess, it appears around 50 times in the Bible, and a lot of those are Old Testament references, guys, as you look through Leviticus 5 and 16 and Leviticus 26 and so on. You see certainly a confessing the people of Israel. They would gather, they would confess their sins, they would confess their iniquities, and the blood of bulls and goats would be offered. And, you know, you say, well, okay, I see that Israel did that, and there was a Day of Atonement once a year, but what about us? What about now that Jesus has died? What about now that Jesus' blood has been shed what role is there for confession? And I think as you look at the New Testament, really, you come to grips with a simple reality. Number one, there is a role for confessing our struggles to each other, but it's not to get more forgiveness. And I think that's really the crux of it, guys. When a lot of Christians misunderstand the issue of confession, it's when they assume that by confessing my sins on a daily basis to God or to other people, that somehow that's going to bring me more forgiveness. And of course, that would be saying that the cross didn't fully work, that the blood of Jesus didn't really wash away all of our sins, maybe just our past sins, but not our future sins, maybe just some of our sins, but not all of our sins. Well, we know that's not true. We know that there is a simple reality that Jesus Christ took away all of our sins. He removed them as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. So they're forgiven and forgotten forever. So then why confess? Well, I mean, confession is agreeing with God. And I like to say, hey, it's kind of smart to agree with God about everything. I mean, let's confess that he created the world. Let's confess that Jesus is Lord. Let's agree with God about everything. And when we agree with God about something, hey, God, you know, that was sin. That wasn't of you. I recognize that. That's just common sense. But it doesn't cause Jesus to die again, and it doesn't cause us to get any more forgiven. So let's be real with God. Let's be real with other people. Let's ask for prayer when we need it. Let's reveal our struggles to trusted friends. Let's talk through things. But all the while, let's recognize the finished work of Jesus Christ is finished. We can't get any more forgiven than we already are.
Well, and I think that's the very truth, the foundation that allows us to be truthful with God, to actually admit our sins and not be afraid. Why? Because we need God to kind of dig deep into our hearts and to kind of renew our thinking and to show us, you know, why we're missing the boat in some areas of life. And if we're afraid that we're going to be punished, we're certainly not going to confess those things. Mm-hmm. But if we know that Christ's blood has taken away our sins once and for all, and that we stand before God as forgiven people, then that liberates us. That frees us to really express our true hearts to God, to express those sinful actions and sinful attitudes and those sort of things, knowing that God is the solution, that God's Spirit can work within us to move us down paths of righteousness. So I think this is so vitally important to get it straight. We think we need to confess in order to get right with God, but the fact that we're right with God is the very thing that enables us to confess truthfully. I know, guys, in my own life, I would try to, I'd do something, and then I'd try to polish it up and make it sound not so bad. And, that's not being truthful, is it?
No.
And God has called us to walk in truth, and what enables us to do that is the wonderful truth of the grace of God that's been given to us in Christ, the fact that we have been cleansed once and for all, and that we are indwelt by God's Spirit. And our sin doesn't cause God to leave us, the Spirit to leave us. It's the light of His life living in us that helps us see sin for what it is, and to really be able to thank God for what He accomplished for us in Christ's death, and then move forward in hope and faith and love and see God to get us back on paths of righteousness.
Yeah, there's an aspect of this that we don't often talk about, and you hinted at it, Bob. You said confession is about telling the truth. And if you go through the Gospels and look at what Jesus said, He was constantly confessing the truth, and He did it by saying things like, "I and the Father are one. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Those were confessions of truth regarding who He was and what He was uniquely qualified to do. And we tend, and for good reason, we tend to look at it mostly in negative terms. But if we look at it from the standpoint of who Jesus is, we make that good confession about who Jesus is, life changes.
Yes, it does.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. And, Pete, thank you for your question. We hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And once again, friends, if you'd like to pose a question and you can't hear the broadcast while we're actually on the air live during the 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time slot, well, we would love to have you do that by going to basicgospel.net/ask, where you can leave a text question or you can voice your question in your own voice, and we'll be glad to address it soon on Basic Gospel. Again, that's basicgospel.net/ask. But right now, plenty of open lines and time remaining on the clock, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Today, of course, at Basic Gospel, we have a powerful message for you. It's a CD called Life After Therefore. It's by Bob Christopher, of course, and it's our gift to say thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel. Today, as I said, is the final day of this offer. We need your ongoing support, friends, to keep the message of God's great love and grace going out to people who need to hear it. Ryan's call on yesterday's program is just one example. So please, go online to basicgospel.net, click donate to make your donation today and receive your copy of Life After Therefore. Remember, today is the final day. Well, a question from Tim in Indianapolis, guys. He says, I'm trying to understand the true meaning of the term antinomianism. I can't say that word. Antinomianism.
There you go.
Wow. Well done.
Yeah, does it apply to true, pure grace believers, he asks.
Yeah. Well, you know, anti means against, and so nomian refers to the law. And so, you know, are we against the law? Are we law haters? Are we law bashers? Are we people that denigrate the law? And the simple answer to that is no, we're not. And so antinomian certainly is not fitting for what we proclaim and what we celebrate as believers in Jesus Christ. What we say is that the law is not dead, but we're dead to the law. Big difference. The law has not vanished. It's not gone away. But in Christ, we die to the law so that we can live to God. And, you know, there is a tool in the law. There is a use for the law. I mean, you know, the scripture tells us that the law is good if we use it properly. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the unrighteous. So when the unrighteous, when the unbeliever looks at the law, they begin to see, hey, I've got egg on my face here. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I've got a problem. I've got a sin issue. I've got a death issue at the core of my being. I need a solution. So the law points out that problem. Now, if we were running around saying, you know, the law is no good, the law has no purpose, we hate the law is sin, the law is bad, the law is evil, then that's what antinomianism really is. We're not saying anything like that. What we're saying is that the law is so holy and so perfect and so good that we can't live up to it. And that's why we need the grace of God instead. So, you know, guys, I think that really, it's those who turn to God's grace that have respected the law. Who is it that really respects the law? Is it the guy who whittles it down to 10 things or whittles it down to 9 things, you know, minus the Sabbath? That's not really respecting God's law. Respecting God's law is when you stare it in the face, 613 commands, and you say, wow, what a perfect and impossible standard. That's why I need God's grace. Then I have truly respected the law. So we are respecters of the law, and that's why we realize we need grace instead.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Paul said in Romans chapter 3. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. When we receive forgiveness, we're actually admitting guilt.
Yes.
And that we stand guilty before a righteous God and that we deserve punishment. But we receive that forgiveness and because Christ stood in our place, and that's the good news. So we uphold that. But then, you know, the one thing, there's the law, there's the Ten Commandments. But we see also, like in Romans chapter 8, where Paul writes that because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. So when there's a change of the priesthood, as the writer of Hebrews said, there is a change of the law. So as new covenant believers, we're not without law, but we're not under that old law. We're not under that old commandment. We're participating in faith, hope, and love. Those are the things that God has written on our hearts. And that's what the Spirit of God is moving us to participate in. And I think we have to realize that, you know, we have this law of life that we're now operating under. We're not under the law of sin and death. And that's what that Ten Commandments represented, the law of sin and death. It really crystallized what that looked like. But now we are under the law of the Spirit of life. And that's good news. That's the best place to be. And that's experienced by faith. It's filled with hope. It's expressed in love to others. That's exactly what God has created us to do. So, well, let's go to San Diego and talk with our friend Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, how are you today?
We're doing
well.
Well,
I know you're well.
Hey, Lucy.
I just wanted to thank all of you and take the opportunity to say hi to Andrew Farley and tell him how blessed we are to be with him at 8 o'clock Sunday mornings and online to participate.
Oh, yeah. So you're on the West Coast then?
We're in San Diego, yes.
Okay,
California,
yeah.
Not Texas.
yeah. Well, great to meet you, and we appreciate your encouragement. I'm glad you're tuning in to Basic Gospel.
Well, yeah, they're my boys.
Yes,
and,
Mom.
That's right. That's right.
So great. We are so grateful for Basic Gospel Ministry and for what they've been teaching us for years and years and years. And we're finding more and more grace-based teachers here and there, and it's just so encouraging. But I just wanted to take this opportunity, since you had an open line, to say thank you and to tell you all of y'all, as we say in Texas. I'm originally a Texan, about ninth generation Texan, but I've been out here for a long time, so California is my home. But I just want to thank all of you for your input, your teaching, and your love that you display and reflect every day on the radio. So that's all. I just wanted to say thank you.
We appreciate that, Lucy, and we love you and Doug, and thank you so much for what you mean to the ministry, for your faithfulness, for your partnership in proclaiming this good news of Jesus Christ. It really is a team effort. No one person can do the ministry alone. God didn't set it up that way. He put us in a body, and we function together as a body of believers. And we have an incredible mission and an incredible opportunity to impact this world, to impact the culture in which we live, by delivering the good news of Jesus Christ, by using the giftings that God has given each and every one of us, using them in such a way that they're orchestrated as one, a unified body, standing together around the love of Jesus Christ, the person and work of Jesus Christ, bound together by this new covenant in which we live today. So, Lucy, thank you so much for being a part of that, for standing with us, and for helping so many people out there get clarity, get certainty, get confidence in their relationship with Christ Jesus. That's what Basic Gospel is all about.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks to you and
Thank
Doug.
Thank you, and love you all.
Yeah, bye-bye. Lucy and Doug have been friends for a long, long time. We really, truly appreciate and love them. Well, friends, today is the last day to receive Bob Christopher's CD, Life After Therefore, as our thanks for your November gift. It's a powerful message that will indeed challenge you to experience true worship by sharing with others the life, joy, and purpose you have received in Jesus Christ. Click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and receive your copy of Life After Therefore. Remember, today is the deadline for this offer, so please help by making your most generous gift to Basic Gospel by midnight tonight. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. Thank you in advance for your support of Basic Gospel. Well, again, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.